I've been teaching on excellence from the second week of the year, and last week I couldn't complete what I was working on, so I am doing part two of my message, Learning Excellence Through Pressure. Learning excellence through pressure. Most of the time, pressure is viewed very negatively. We don't want to be under pressure. There is a place for managing pressure and stress on our lives so we don't get overstressed. But I'm focusing on the positive benefits of being under pressure. Because many times people are so much against pressure, when you talk to them, they will say things like, "Don't give me pressure. No stress, please, please, no stress. Don't pressure me." But there is a way that pressure is an important requirement for our success in life. And that is what I am focusing on. So I'm going to review some of the things I said last week and then go on to some things for this week. So Philippians chapter 3 is what I anchored my message on last week. Philippians 3, verse 12 to verse 14. The Apostle Paul is telling us what I consider his drive in life. What drives him? It's basically his personal philosophy on why he was able to do what he accomplished. He says, "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Twice in this passage, the Apostle Paul uses the word press. In verse 12, he says, "I press on." In verse 14, he says, "I press toward." The idea of the word press is where we get the concept of pressure. Pressure comes from pressing. In both instances where Paul uses the word press in the Bible, if you check from the lemma of the Greek, that is the root word that he is using, it is from the Greek word dioko. And dioko means to press, pursue, or persecute. As a matter of fact, it is translated more as persecute in the New Testament than even pursuit or press. Persecute, dioko. It means to suffer hardship under intense pressure. So when Paul says, "I press on," he's not simply meaning I'm moving on or I go on. In what he's saying is, I put myself under intense pressure to move on. If he doesn't do that, he wouldn't move on. In other words, moving on requires intense pressure. It requires a lot of effort to move on. And we said that pressure moves us out of inertia. Inertia is in a state where nothing is happening. Nothing is moving. All things are still and stable. And we quoted the physical laws that indicate that we need pressure. And I quoted from Newton's first law of motion, which simply says that an object in a state of inertia or in a state of nothing will remain at rest, or if it is moving, it will remain at a constant velocity or speed unless pressure or force is applied. If you want your life to move on, you need pressure. Something should force you out. Something should push you out. And I pray that God will do that nicely for you. that you allow something to come and drive you from a state of standing in the same place or just moving at a slow, consistent pace. We need pressure to move on. And we need pressure to help us see what is in us, to strengthen us, to sharpen us, and to stretch us. For today, I'm going to start by using God's instruction for how the tabernacle was to be lighted as a metaphor for dealing with the concept of pressure in achieving results in our lives. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. This is the instruction God gave Israel on how to light up the tabernacle. Now, for those of you who may not be very familiar, when the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they lived in a tent. And that tent, or God's dwelling place, was in a tent. And that tent was called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle had to be lighted. And God gave instruction on how to light up the tabernacle. Although the instruction is not about human beings, I'm going to take that and use it and apply it to our lives. Exodus chapter 27 verse 20. You shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed grapes, or pressed olives, sorry, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. You shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. Now, normally I preach from the New King James Version of the Bible, but if you look at the Old King James Version of the Bible, this is how it is rendered. And thou shalt command the children of Israel, excuse me, thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the land, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continuously. You would see that in the King James Version, the word pressed is rendered as beaten. Pressed is beaten. Now, I'm going to take this instruction that God gave Israel on how to produce oil for the light to apply to your life to see how God also wants to produce light out of your life. There are four main ideas I want to point out based on the passage we have read. And I'll read the passage again. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed or beaten olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continuously. There are four ideas I want you to take note of. The first one is the olive. The olive, the raw fruit of the olive. This is where God starts from. He wants to produce light, but he's starting with the olive fruit. And I want you to think of yourself as that olive fruit. You are that tiny olive fruit. An olive fruit is a very tiny, probably the length, probably an inch. An inch is how many centimeters? Is it three? Three and a half. I'm almost 4 centimeters. Almost 4, because I think in inches and translate to centimeters. Most of you are centimeters people. You are modern people, but you know, British messed us up with feet and inches. So it's just about an inch or 4 centimeters. It's an oval shaped fruit. Greenish. Now he says, this is what you're going to use to bring oil to light my lamp. Now I want you to think of yourself as that olive fruit. The olive fruit that is thought of here is the unripe, mature olive fruit. Because the olive fruit starts as green, and when it is ripe, it becomes blackish. What the Bible is talking about here is not the blackish, the ripened olive fruit, but the mature green olive fruit. That is the fruit in its most mature state. It hasn't gone to ripen yet, but it's mature and unripened. That is where it starts from. So God says, take that fruit. And then the second thing is that press the fruit or beat it. That is how the fruit releases what is in it. It is the process by which the olive fruit yields what is inside it. Beat it. Now, beat it doesn't mean take a cane and whip it. The idea is very similar to how we produce, we pound palm kernels when we want to make palm oil. When we want to make palm oil, we boil the palm kernels, put them in a mortar, and we pound them, we beat them, we press them, and crush it so that we can get the oil out of what we are crushing. It's similar to what God is saying here. He says, you take the olive and you're going to beat it. You're going to press it. You're going to pound it. And when you pound it, you're going to get it to break up and release what is inside it. It's a very important concept. God takes the raw fruit and he pounds it. He presses it. He beats it. Can you imagine if you were the olive fruit and you are taking and you are going through this process where you are being pounded, you're being pressurized, you're being beaten? You would think somebody wants to destroy your life. You would think that this person wants to crush you, wants to destroy you, but God says that is what you do with the olive fruit. If you keep it as it is, it is of no use to me. You're going to break it. You're going to break it down, because that is when I start the process of releasing what is inside it. So there is the olive fruit, and then there is the pressing, the beating, the pounding. And then he says, after you have done that, then he says, out of it will come pure oil. Pure oil represents the quality that is going to come out of the fruit. And the reason why the Bible calls it pure oil is oil that does not have sediments or impurities in it. And it doesn't have water in it. And the reason why it doesn't have impurities and it is pure is because apart from pounding, it goes through filtration. Now, how does it go through filtration? Those days, they didn't have the mechanisms we have now. They do what most of us do. You know, much of what we do in our society is very similar to what was happening in the Bible. If you want to filter something, in this case, the olive fruit, you've pounded it, you pick it up, you take the big seed out of it, and then you get a fabric, maybe organza or some other filtering fabric. You put the raw pounded olive in it and squeeze it. And as you squeeze it, the oil comes out. So there's two levels of pressure. One is pounding you and the other is squeezing you. And it is through the process of pounding and squeezing that the oil comes out. And God says that is how I want you to treat the oil. And I'm telling you that when God also wants to touch your life, that is what he's going to do. He's going to take your life as it is and put it under pressure. And then after you've been under pressure and you've been struck and you've been beaten, he's going to allow you to be squeezed. And when you are squeezed, you will cry, "Oh mama, oh my mother." But God will not hear your prayer at that time, because what he needs out of you cannot get come out of you until you are squeezed. It's called pressure. It's called pressure. So the olive fruit is beaten and then it is squeezed. And as it is squeezed, I'm sure it is asking, what have I done? What have I done? Why do you hate me like that? No, we don't hate you. We love you so much. We see oil in you, and we're not going to allow you to jeopardize yourself. So pressure will release the oil out of you. And then the fourth thing that happens is the light. The light is really the benefit that comes out of the fruit. And the light brightens. The light beautifies. The light brings illumination. But you will not get light until you get oil. And you don't get oil until you are beaten and pressed. The flame of this oil burns purely and does not produce soot, no blackened smoke. So that's why God says use this process. There are other processes you can use, but it will not produce the light I'm talking about. I want light that does not produce smoke. Because sometimes you can be producing light and smoke at the same time. So people get attracted to your light, but when they get attracted to your light, the smoke gets into their eyes and they are repelled by the light. So there are people with talent whose talents are repelling to people. They have ability, but people cannot use the ability because they are producing light and smoke. But God says if you go through this process, you produce light and there will be no smoke. Your light will be pure, it will be beautiful, it will be a blessing. But for that to happen, you are going to be pounded. And it is not because he hates you, it's because he loves you. Listen to me. God loves you as you are. And he will call you as you are. And he will accept you as you are. But he will never use you as you are. You have to make the distinction. When we come to God, he loves us as we are. He accepts us as we are. If you are a drunkard and you come to him, he will accept you as you are. You are on drugs, you come to him, he will accept you as you are. You are lazy, you come to him, he will accept you as you are. Whatever you are, when you accept him, when you come to him, he will accept you as you are. But if he wants to use you, he has to pressure you. He has to take some stuff out of you in order to use you. God only uses people he has prepared. Not just people he loves, but people he has prepared. And sometimes people are going to tell you, it doesn't matter, God loves you as you are. Yes, we know God loves you as you are, but he won't use you as you are. He won't let greatness come out of you as you are. For greatness to come out of you, something must crush you. Something must pressurize you. Something must break down that which is stopping your oil from flowing. And that which is required, God will make available to you. This is something you don't pray for. God will answer that prayer. He will bring you pressure and he will pound you and he will take you through processes so that the oil will flow out of you. It is the light that comes out of this pure oil that God says is the only light I will accept in my tabernacle. There can be other lights in the days of the Bible. They hadn't, you know, we were not producing light from carbon fuel, that is petroleum, crude oil. It hadn't been invented. Light came either from animal fat or from plant fat like this one. And there were other processes of producing oil from the olive plant. But it will not produce this kind of pure oil. And this is the only one that God says I accept. It must be pounded. It must be pressed. It must be beaten so that the best will come out of it. So that light will be in my tabernacle. If you want to be light to your world, you want to be a light to your generation, you want God to use you to light up the world, I will tell you without any equivocation that God will take you as you are, but he will break you to the point where he can use you for his glory. Now, taking the light that comes from this olive fruit, I want to transition to another light that God says he wants us to produce. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10. It forms one of our foundational texts for this year. You'll find it on the screen when we have our artwork up there, the verse 7. But I'm reading the context of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light out to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Now, if you look at the passage, it starts by talking about how God commanded light out of darkness. Most of you are familiar with that verse. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It says in the beginning, God said, let there be light out of darkness, and there was light. Then he moves ahead to say that the same God who has commanded light out of darkness has given us the light of his glory through Jesus Christ. So the same God who commanded, let there be light, has given us light through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say that this light of God is a treasure in us. Then it tells us that we are earthen vessels carrying this treasure of God within us. That this treasure produces excellent power. And this power is not our own, but of God. Then he tells us the challenges we face because of the treasure we are carrying. This passage immediately has an immediate use, which is the Christian life and the life of Christ in us, which is the treasure of God in us, which is the direct immediate reference. But this verse also speaks to our natural life, that just as God has treasure of Christ in us, he also has gifts in us, he has abilities in us, he has treasure in us, and this treasure is in earthen vessels. That's quite an amazing thought. Because nobody takes treasure and puts it in earthen vessels. When you have treasure, you want to put it in a treasure box, something that is valuable. But the Bible says that God's treasure is in things that are not valuable. That's an amazing thought. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's like somebody who has a bunch of diamonds. And he wants to, if you have a bunch of diamonds, you go and look for some metal safe to put them in. But he says that God takes this bunch of diamonds and put them in maybe a tattered cloth. So you see, there is treasure, but the holder of the treasure doesn't seem valuable. And that is how most of the time God uses us. He has great treasure, but the treasure is in us. It's like treasure sitting in somebody you don't expect to have treasure. Can you imagine you're just walking by the street of Accra, just by the roadside, you see a blind man singing and begging for money. Now, in our society, a blind man by the roadside singing and begging for money is not considered the most accomplished of people. On the social ladder, they will be probably at the bottom. He's blind, he's poor, he's begging, he's sitting by the roadside. Can you imagine that? That is the earthen vessel. And then this man begins to sing. And as he sings, you begin to hear notes and you begin to hear tones, and you begin to hear quality of music coming out of him, and you wonder, where did this treasure come from? And you wonder, I mean, he's singing at notes that people who have gone to music school cannot sing. That is treasure in an earthen vessel. In fact, there was one particular person exactly like that in our country, maybe about 30 years ago. This guy was a blind man. I knew him. He was living in Nima those days when I was living in Nima. And we all knew him. He sang, and nobody cared. You just dropped money for him. And one music producer discovered him, and he became a world hit. Recorded an album which hit the world scene. He is treasure, but the vessel is no good. So that is how God uses us. Each one of us, there is treasure in us. But that treasure, the vessel in the treasure, holding the treasure, has problem. So when people look at you, they don't see the treasure. They see the earthen vessel. Now what God wants to do is he has to deal with the earthen vessel so that the treasure can come out. That is what he does to the olive. It is treasure. But nobody can see the oil until he pressurizes the olive fruit for the oil to come out. And in your own life, there is treasure sitting inside of you. But if God doesn't allow pressure, you would die without treasure. Nobody would know you ever had that. Nobody would know you ever had the ability. So God is going to take you as you are, earthen vessel with treasure, and he's going to apply pressure so that something about your earthen vessels will break and allow the treasure to come out of you. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's what he did to the olive. And that's what he wants to do to us as Christians. So Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Then he goes to talk about how God deals with the earthen vessels. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. If you are carrying God's treasure, one of the first things that God will do is to hard press you. That word hard press means to be squeezed. When you feel squeezed all around you, you feel squeezed. How do you get water or orange juice from an orange? You squeeze it. How do you get juice from mango? You squeeze it. How do you get juice from an apple? You squeeze it. How does God get value out of you? He will squeeze you. Now, the squeeze can come through other people or through yourself. It's better it comes through yourself. But since most of us are kind to ourselves, God is going to use external pressure. And he says, you're going to be squeezed. We are hard pressed on every side. Have you ever experienced that kind of squeezing where you think, this guy is killing me. This is going to kill me. I will die. But Paul says, although we are squeezed on every side, we are not dying. We are not crushed. In other words, the pressure that he's bringing upon you, sometimes you will feel like you are dying, but you won't die. Have you ever been under pressure? You think, as for this, I can't survive it. I'm dead. How? This is too much. And then you wake up in the next morning, 5:30, the birds are still singing. You're still alive. It didn't kill you. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. God is going to put you under so much intense pressure that you would think you are dying. And that is when a lot of people run out from pressure training. They go to somebody who will pat them at the back and say, it doesn't matter. Don't worry. Here you are loved. You are accepted as you are. May I suggest to you very strongly, anybody who suggests to you that the way you are is okay, that you don't need anybody to change you or to put pressure on you, doesn't love you. They are speaking words of love to you, but it's a words of destruction. They are making you take life easy, but life is not easy, my friends. There's going to come intense pressure. And that pressure is designed to bring oil out of you or treasure out of you. And it will squeeze you until every last drop of oil comes out of you. But Paul says, when that pressure comes, you will not be crushed. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Then he says, perplexed. Perplexed. Have you ever been under pressure that now you are at a loss? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. When you are being squeezed, you feel dry, you feel empty. It seems as if everything in you is drained. And you are trying to find out where is help. No help. Perplexed. When you think, I've given my best. I've done all that I can do. I don't know what to do again. I want to give up. This is too hard. You stay in. You stay in. That is pressure. It's like when you're pushing your muscles. If you've done strength training, you're pushing. And your trainer says, go ahead, give it one more push. I can't do it again. Push! That's how babies are born. That's how muscles are strengthened. When you don't know what to do, when you are perplexed, you think you've done all, I've pushed all I can push. But the baby has not come out. Push! It's called pressure. And you need a trainer who puts you under that. He said, me, even my father didn't do that to me. Even my mother, your father didn't like you. I'm telling you, he loved you but didn't like you. Even my father hasn't said that to me. Yeah. That's why he's your father. But now you need a coach. You need a trainer. You need somebody who can draw oil from you. You need somebody who can pull treasure out of you. And when you're crying, he doesn't get sympathy with your tears because he believes in your potential more than your pain. Paul says we are perplexed. But not in despair. In other words, I don't know what to do, but I still have hope. I don't know where to turn, but I still think it's going to be all right. Hard press, being squeezed, being perplexed. Then the third thing he says, persecuted. Persecuted means to be harshly pursued. You are being hunted. Can you imagine feel squeezed, very dry, and yet being pursued? You feel you are alone in this world. Persecuted. What life is taking too much from you. It's like a woman who wants to get a PhD. You have 3 children. You are working. And you are married to a very, very traditional Ghanaian. This is what is called persecuted. Who wants his food hot? And your children, you know, children have no sympathy. Mommy, and they don't know you have an assignment to give, and your boss is putting pressure on you, and your supervisor is putting pressure on you, and everybody's saying, are you crazy? Stop it! Because the top is only for a few people, my friends. The majority are at the bottom. The majority are at the bottom. They'll tell you, why are you killing yourself? Why are you doing this to yourself? Please stop it! You feel life is harassing you. But a couple of months later, you'll get those 3 stripes on your attire, on your gown. And they will call you Dr. So-and-so. And that is why everybody will come and say, hey! Everybody wants to take a picture with you. But when you were running, you were being squeezed, you were being pursued, you were being persecuted, your husband was not understanding, your children had no understanding, the supervisor had no understanding, when nobody encouraged you, Paul says persecuted, but not forsaking. Although I know everything is against me, I still believe God is for me, that God is with me, that I'm going to go through this and I'm going to get out of it. If you want to be ordinary, live your life as it is. But if you want to be extraordinary, you have to put in extra. And life will demand extra from you. So Paul is talking about the treasure in us. And the reason all of this is happening is not because anybody hates you. It's because there's treasure in you. And the treasure must come out. Look at some of the great people who have accomplished things in this world. Take the sports world. Take a person like Ronaldo. Arguably the best footballer. Arguably. I'm not saying he is. Arguably. Because there are arguments against that. Look at his training schedule. His friends are sleeping. He's working. I mean, I saw a video of Kobe Bryant who just died. May God have mercy on him. And I saw his training schedule. Everybody, his friends are asleep. He's going the extra mile. He's working hard because I'm telling you, excellence is not cheap. You will be squeezed. You will feel harassed. You will feel persecuted. And then the fourth thing Paul says. He says, struck down. Struck down means to be put down. Whilst you are doing all of this, somebody is trying to put you down. You hear things about you that are painful and heartbreaking. People are going to ask you, why are you killing yourself? Is this your father's work? Don't you have anything better to do? If you are a woman, they'll tell you, you will not have any man to marry you. You can never achieve it. They're trying to put you down. Striking you down. But you're still going. Because there's treasure in you. And you want that treasure out. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. It is the pressure, kind of pressure, that releases treasure out of us. And get this from me. The quality you produce in life is directly related to the pressure you submit yourself to. The quality you will produce is proportionally related to pressure. If you hate pressure, you hate success. You hate your soul. Some of you get under pressure, you move. Under pressure here, you move. Under pressure, you move. Oh, the way he's treating me, I don't like it. The way he's treating me, I got up this day, I got up that night, and I work. Do you know that every discipline you acquire in training is for yourself? It's not for your boss. When you go to school and get a degree, is it for your teacher? No. When somebody is pressurizing you, every skill you develop is for you. When you work somewhere and they put you under pressure, everything you acquire, every ability is for yourself. So when you run away from training, you are running away from yourself. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, Paul later talks about two kinds of pressure. And I would end with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. Talk about pressure. But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. So he's talking about outside pressure, inside pressure. So let me give it to you. Pressure from outside us. This is where much of our journey for excellence starts from. It starts first with what God has called us to be. What we believe God wants from us. If you believe God wants you to be the head and not the tail, then there's going to be pressure to be the head and not the tail. How many of you believe God has a plan for your life or a purpose for your life? Good. And how many of you know that purpose? You know that purpose. Okay. Some of you don't know. If there's anything you need in life, is to know what you are trying to achieve in life, what your purpose is. If you know you must be at level 100, you will have to work to be level 100 when you're starting from 1. So when you get to 2, you don't get satisfied. You have to know the demands of God for your life. What is the high calling of God for you? If you know the high calling of God is your first level of pressure, because all that we want to do in life is to please Him who called us. The second thing about pressure from outside is the demands of those who need us. There could be those above us who need certain results from us or outputs from us. They need us to operate at a high level or capacity. They raise the bar constantly. It's pressure. When you've written a report 20 times and it's still not accepted. And you say, oh, this woman, he hates my eyes. Just translate it. He hates my eyes. That's Ghanaian English. He hates my eyes. So I write, I've written the report 20 times. One human being. What kind of report do you want? Do you want my head to eat? No, he doesn't want your head to eat. He wants oil to come out of you. You are still raw olive fruit and the oil must come out. You write that report 50 times until you get it right. It's the demands of those who are above you. And the demands of those who are under you, your children. They don't care whether January is a difficult month. They don't care. I like children. I like you. I've told the story of when my wife and I had our first daughter. Thank God. Pressure. We hadn't had a baby before. And we're buying SMA baby food. And we're told, start with SMA Gold. We didn't know what SMA Gold. You know when you're a good parent, you just start buying anything expensive. SMA Gold. And at the point, we just said, this thing is affecting us. Because this baby is eating. And so at a certain point, we realized our budget can't handle SMA Gold. So we did normal SMA. And we mixed it and we said, baby, do-do-do-do, baby, yeah, do-do-do-do. She put it in her mouth and put it in her face. She says, you think my standards are level? You've put me at gold level, now you want to bring me to bronze? What kind of parent are you? It's called pressure! And you can't debate with a child. You can't say, listen, sweetheart, the world is hard. We just celebrated Christmas and New Year. We are not in general. Please understand me. Accommodate me. We haven't had promotion. It's called pressure. You would think twice. I'm telling you. Something in you will have to start thinking. Maybe I should go and have a poultry farm in addition. Maybe I should rear snails. Maybe I should do something else because this baby is not giving up. It's called pressure. Pressure from without. The demands of those who need us. The demands and the schemes of those who want to destroy us. This has to do with all the threats we face to our survival and safety. At every point in time, someone or something needs you out of the way. Their success requires your failure. And it's not personal. Because a lot of things in life are zero sum. A lot of things. When we say something is zero sum, it means that one is winner take all. A lot of things. When you go for interview and they are interviewing you, it's zero sum. If they take this one, they won't take me. So if you are the one winning the interview, you think the other should fold their arms and say, oh, we love you so much. Go ahead and get a job. We'll go home and eat our gari soakings just like that. No. They're going to do everything to try to make you fail. Because your success is going to go to their disadvantage. Every day in the morning, a lion gets up to try to get an antelope. And if you're an antelope, you get up, you have to know, lion is coming. Leopard is coming. Hyena is coming. Cheetah is coming. Tiger is coming. All these assorted enemies require you. They require you to survive. Now you can sit down and say, mommy, mommy, you are gone. So you're going to make sure nobody is going to eat you. For that to happen, there's pressure on you from sun up to sundown. Because somebody needs you to fail. And it's not because he hates you. It's just because he needs to survive. Don't go and hate him back. He needs to survive. And he's going to do everything to destroy you. Most of the people who want to destroy you, they don't even know you. That's why people sometimes, what have I done against you? What have I done? What have I done? I don't even know what you have done. You are succeeding. You don't need to personally harm people, but you are in their way. You are in their way. And you have to keep moving ahead so they don't destroy you. Don't sit to be destroyed. There's pressure. Paul calls it pressure from outside. Everywhere he wants to go. When he went to Ephesus. And he said, there's only God, Jehovah. The people who make idols for the God of Ephesus, Diana, he said, this guy is falling business. Because if these people believe there's only one God and Diana is not a God, then all this craft work we have done, the business is collapsed. I want to take a loan to start this business. Paul's preaching is undermining my business. His preaching is not good for business. So they had to maneuver to get Paul into jail for business to survive. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, pressure from the outside. You want to succeed in life? You want it? You want to excel? You want to be the head and not the tail? You want it very well. You want a testimony by December to see what God... You want a testimony. This is how it happens. Pressure from outside. Then Paul talks about pressure from within. Pressure from within. What is it? Pressure from within. I'm going to give you three, then I'll shut down. First, pressure from within is the fear of failing in our mission. Tell me a person who is not afraid of failing. I'll tell you a person who is going nowhere. If you're going to succeed in life, something in you must urge you to move on. And one of those is the fear of failure. Everybody who has a fear of failure acknowledges that yesterday's success can't survive today. Paul himself had fear of failure. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27, he says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul says, if I don't make it, I'll be disqualified. And because I don't want to fail and be disqualified, I put my body under subjection. I put myself under pressure. Why do you think I'm still preaching hard like this? Pressure. Because somebody just started his church. He has 2 members. He's targeting my church. He targeted you to go to his church. So can you imagine, I come here, I'm telling Anansi stories. And because I've been doing this for 40 years. Before I realize the church is empty. There is a lion who has started his life. He's hoping I've become an antelope. Those of you who are a little older, you are 60, you are 70, you are 65, you are 50, you are, and you say, "Oh, I'm old, let the small boys do it." Are you crazy? Which small boys should do it? Get up and go hunting. Get up and start running. Get up and get a job done. This is not time for any small boys. This is time for you to put yourself under pressure. Because Paul says, if I don't do that, after all that I've done, I will be disqualified. The fear of failure. It's good to have that fear. It's a healthy fear. I was telling somebody, after all that I've preached for over 40 years, I'm never confident preaching. There's never been a time I finish my sermon preparation and I say, "Oh, this one is going to be super." Never. I have to pray, "Lord, help me. Lord, I need you." Because the day I stop fearing, I stop trusting God. And I'm just going to go say, "Oh, I've done it so long." And the first time you flop, people who have liked you all this time, they say, "Yeah, we saw it. We've been seeing it for the last..." We see he's going down, 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 down. You think I don't know you? I know you. The fear within, fear of failure. The second fear within is realization of our own limitations. When we realize that there are things we don't know how to do. There are those who allow their limitations to freeze them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are overconfident and just feel, "Oh, I can do it. Oh, I'm better. Oh, I'm the best." My wife would tell you, in all the years she's known me, there's never a time I've preached somewhere, she asks, "How did it go?" And I'll say, "It was fantastic." I've never said that. "Oh, how did it go?" My only answer is, "It was okay." But people say, "Oh, the meeting was great. How did it go?" "It was okay. It was bad. It wasn't bad." Because I know my inadequacies. The moment you say, "Oh, it was fantastic. Hey, the way it was, yay, I'm telling you, it was fire." You are finished. You have no sense of inadequacy. You think you are all in all. You think you have it covered. That is the beginning of your downfall. Paul says, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he says, I am so afraid. I will be disqualified. So I put pressure on myself. The third pressure from within is the ambition to be the best for God. Ambition has sometimes a negative side. I'm talking about positive ambition. The Apostle Paul is a very ambitious man. Listen to him as he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. That's why he went beyond everybody. He says, if I go and I see Peter is here, I leave Peter alone and move to the next level. I see Andrew is here, I move to where Andrew has never gone. He says, I'm always looking for new territory where nobody has ever touched. It's called ambition. And in the end, he took the gospel more than everybody else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Pressure is on me to preach. And there's nothing to even brag about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. In other words, they are foolish. What is Paul saying? He says, I'm not in the business of determining who is better, who did better, who is that, who is greater. Because that is foolishness. I just want to be the best for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 and 16, he says, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Paul is saying, I don't want my boast in life to be on people. Oh, my uncle did this. Do you know my brother? Have you heard about my brother? Yeah, he's my brother. Oh, he's my cousin. He's my father's uncle's whatever. Or, these days, some of you young people, look at me, I took a selfie with him. I took a selfie, and so what? Having his picture doesn't mean you have his achievement. Stop classifying your success in life by whom you took a picture with. Taking a picture with somebody is nothing. And some of you take pictures with people, they are on Instagram. Hey! Yay! I'm with you, hey! The person just arrived with his private jet. You have been using Poklo Maja, to get to where you are. And you took a picture with him and, hey, Instagram, hey! Taking pictures with people. Taking and showing it as your sign of success. Check out who I'm with. Who cares? Hey, look at who I met. Yeah, it's good to meet people and be proud of them, but their success will never rub off on you. Paul says, I don't want to boast in another man's work. I want to boast only in what I have achieved. I don't go out in life bragging about who is my friend, who is my neighbor, whom I met, who I had dinner with, who I had lunch with. And then some of you get a phone call. Hey, it's the old man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Sir. Oh, sir. Sometimes it's not even the person. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're saying yes, sir, to empty phone. I'm sure whilst you're saying yes, sir, the other person is a girl. He said, but I'm not saying. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir, I'll come for the appointment. I walk in appointment. Yes, sir. Okay, sir, I'll see you. He's an old man. Put your hand on your head and say, Lord, deliver me.
else.
Paul had godly ambition. I want to achieve something. And I'm not going to do that by boasting in what other people have achieved. I want to be able to say, this is what I've done. That's what I've done. I appreciate what others have done. But I want to be able to say, this is my contribution. And says, because of that, I put myself under pressure. In fact, when Paul was going to Jerusalem, everybody told him not to go. They said, Paul, it's going to be hard. You'll be in prison. It's going to be difficult. And he says, don't annoy me. You think I came to life just to have pleasure? I have an assignment, and my assignment requires that I go to Rome and preach to Nero, the emperor. And if he's going to take prison for me to preach to that man, I'm going to go through prison to get to that man, because God has shown me what my life is all about. And because of that, he put himself under pressure. I pray that God will help you so that the treasure he has put within you will not die in you. The oil in you will not dry up. The favor he has put upon you will not just live inside of you. Even if you are old in age, from today I release you from the limitations of your age. And I declare to you that your best achievements are about to be heard. Your best accomplishments are about to be heard. You are about to make impact all over the world. If you are young, I want to tell you, there is no limitation of age on you. Your best days are ahead of you. You will accomplish great things in your youth. And all of you in between old and young, age is not a limitation. Go out there and do something wonderful for God. And if in the process you feel squeezed, just see the oil coming out. If in the process you feel you are being pounded, see the treasure coming out of your earthen vessel. If in the process you think, this life is so hard, I don't even know whether I'll survive. Look how God has made you survive up to now. He didn't bring you this way to let you stop here. Your best days are ahead of you. Your greater works are ahead of you. The favor of God is ahead of you. You are about to be a world changer. You are about to be a world changer. You are about to be an impact maker. The world is about to celebrate you now in Jesus' name. Give the Lord praise, everybody.